Baruch Maboim, we begin the new Masechta, Masechta Zivamis. We begin on Daf Beis Amud Aleph. We open up with this Masechta, Perek Aleph, Perek Chamesh Asur Nashim. Talks about 15 different women. That is, this Masechta, as the name says, Masechta Zivamis, talks about the halacha of the mitzvahs of Yibim. Mitzvah of Yibim, simply put, is that when a man dies without any children, then the mitzvah is incumbent upon one of his brothers to take his wife, now the widow, in marriage, and then from that marriage to create children, which this man didn't have the opportunity to have children. That is the mitzvah of Yibim. If one of the brothers doesn't want to do Yibim, then there's the mitzvah of Chalitza, which is a process of divorcing that relationship that was created, which is to have one of the brothers marry. When they decide they're not going to do that, then they do the process of Chalitza. Our Perek, which is where our Mishnah opens up with, discusses different women, specifically which are in the category of Arayas, which are forbidden relationships to a specific person, where these women, if they were married to the one who had died, now this brother cannot go ahead and take this woman as a wife in the midst of Yibim because she's forbidden to him because of she is one of the Arayas. That is where our Mishnah begins, and that's what our first Perek will discuss. So the Mishnah opens up, Chamesh Esrei Nashim, 15 women. Whereas the end of the Mishnah will explain that if one of these women, which again, as we had explained, are an erva, which means to say that their forbidden relationship that the Torah had forbidden this man with this woman, is married to his brother, and that man had not just one wife, which is the forbidden to him erva, but he actually has another wife, and he dies without any children, as we explained, that is what sets the stage for the mitzvah of Yibum. Now, in that case, since one of the wives is an erva to the one of the brothers, so Paitreis Tzareisayim. Now what happens is that not just is the erva herself exempt from the mitzvah of Yibim because she cannot go ahead and create a relationship now with the brother of her, now her husband who had just passed away because they're forbidden in relationship, but actually even her rival, which means say the other wife, the other spouse, is also going to be forbidden for that brother to take in a relationship, which the Gemara of Gimel Amabez will explain why should that be forbidden. She's not an erva, only the other woman is an erva. But be that as it may, the Mishnah tells us that not only is one of these 15 women who are married to the brother going to be exempt, but even her tzara, even the other co-wife will be forbidden. And more than that, actually it's Bitzaris Tzareisayin, even the co-wife's co-wife. As the Mishnah at the end on Amud Beis will explain exactly how we understand the conceptualization of these type of cases. Now, what do these 15 women exempt their co-wives from? They are min ha-chalitza. As we'd explain, chalitza is a process we'll explain in this Masechta regarding how this divorce happens between the yavam, who is the one that should be, is the brother that should be doing the marriage for his brother's now wife that is widowed. But if he doesn't want to do that, then he does a process of chalitza, which is some type of divorcing that. U'minayibim, and it also will exempt all these, again, tsaras and tsarasayin, also from the halacha of yibim, which again is halachically regarding this case of the brother and his brother that had just passed away, that wife, that marriage would be called Yibum. So again, although halachically, generally when there's someone's brother, when he passes away, and there's the halacha of he should now go ahead and marry his brother's wife if there was no children, which there would be Yibum, or if he doesn't want to get married, he would do Chalitza. In this case, not only can he not do Yibum and Chalitza, because there is no zika, as we'll see, there is no relationship here whatsoever. There is no mitzvah of yibum when the spouse is an erva that's related to him, as the Mishnah will delineate all these 50 women. But even their co-wives will not even start the process of yibum chalitza. And even the co-wives, at seif ha'olam, until the end, meaning it could continue infinitely, and each one will be exempt, and there will be no halacha of doing yibum or chalitza. It would be as if the process of Yibim and Chalitza never began, and everyone could go ahead and do what they were doing up until now. Now, the Mishnah delineates Ve'eluhena. These are the 15 women that were married to his brother who had passed away without any children. And one of the wives are one of these 15 women. Not only are they exempt from Yibim and Chalitza, but even their co-wives. Who are the 15? So the Mishnah begins, number one is Bitoy. If his daughter, so if his brother, had taken his daughter in marriage, again, not only is she going to be exempt from Yibim Chalitza, that means when his brother dies without any children, there's no relationship whatsoever. He will not go ahead and take his daughter in marriage, and she can go ahead and do what any other widow would do and marry anyone else. Not only will the daughter be exempt, but even the co-wife. And similarly, the second one is Ubas Bitoy. That is his daughter's daughter, his granddaughter. and a different type of granddaughter. Number three, it was Ubas Banai and his son's daughter. Now the Mishnah continues. Case number four is Bas Ishtai, is his wife's daughter, which would make it his stepdaughter. So it's his wife's daughter, but it's not his own from their union together, but it's his stepdaughter. Then there's a fifth case is Ubas Bana, which is her son's daughter. And then is Ubas Bita. Then there's her daughter's daughter. So again, two types of granddaughters, but one's from his wife's son and one's from his wife's daughter. Now the Mishnah continues. Case number seven is Chamoisai, is his mother-in-law, which Rashi explains the case to be that her husband, which was his father-in-law, died. And then she went and got married to his brother. And then he died, his brother died without any children. So then his mother-in-law falls for him in the halach of Ibum. He can't go ahead and do any marriage with her because she's forbidden to him. But not only that, even the tzaras and all the other cases. Case number eight is ve'im chamoisai, is his mother-in-law's mother is an erva, and hence poitis tzarasehen. Case number nine is ve'im chamov, is his father-in-law's mother. So Rashi explains that his father-in-law's mother and his mother-in-law's mother are both forbidden to him because they're classified as an erva, as the pasuk says in Yikra Yudches. It says ervas isha ubita leisagala. The nakedness, the erva, which means having a relationship, an intimate relationship with a woman and her daughter, one should not reveal, meaning you cannot have an intimate relationship with a woman and her daughter. Moreover, the pasuk says es bas bina ves bas bita. That includes her granddaughter, whether it's her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. Now included in that is obviously his mother-in-law, because that would be an isha ubita. His wife would be then with her mother, would be a woman and her daughter. That also includes his mother-in-law's mother, because that would be bas bita. Because if he takes his mother-in-law's mother, he's then taking with his wife, and that third generation up would be taking a woman and her daughter's daughter. And that would also include his father-in-law's mother, because that would be bas bina, a woman and her son's daughter, as the Gemara explains in Masechta Sanhedrin of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Now, Rashi clarifies a very important point. When we're mentioning over here, seemingly redundancy, we're saying his daughter, his daughter's daughter, and his son's daughter. Then it goes and says his wife's daughter, her son's daughter, and her daughter's daughter. Seems to be redundant because that's the same thing. His daughter is his wife's daughter, and so on. So Rashi explains that actually when we're saying his daughter, the first three cases, we're talking about that it was from Manusase, a woman that he violated, that it was not in a relationship of Kedushin and Nisuin, but rather the case of Bita Mi'ishtoi, when it says that it's his wife's daughter, so that's his wife's daughter. And that's as it says in the Pasuk, Isha Ubita, means to say, doesn't make a difference if that daughter is from him or from a different man, it's just as long as it's her daughter. Now, however, the first three cases of his daughter, which obviously is from him, but it wasn't through marriage, because then automatically that would be Isha Ubita, because it's his wife, but rather it's his daughter from a woman that he had violated, which is not learned out from that pasuk, because when the pasuk used the terminology of Isha, a woman and her daughter, it sounds like through Kiddushin, because that's what the term Ishus means, through a relationship that comes through a marriage. And that's learned out from a different pasuk, as the Gemara explained of Gimel and Aleph, and therefore they're counted as different arayas. So you have his daughter is not the same as his wife's daughter. And his daughter's daughter is not the same as her daughter's daughter, and therefore they're counted as three different ones for him, which is from a woman that he had violated. And then you have the three, which is from her, which is from a relationship that came through marriage. Now, the Mishnah continues with the case of Achoisa Mi'imoy. The tenth case is where it's his maternal sister, which means to say that it's his stepsister from his mother, which now it's, so he has a half-sister. Now, she married his paternal brother, which is not a problem because they're not related. He shares with this sister a mother, and he shares with this brother a father, but they're from two totally different relationships, and they're allowed to marry. Then his paternal brother dies. So too in the 11th case, where it says, v'achis imoy, and his mother's sister, which is makes it his aunt, then goes ahead, his mother's sister marries his brother from his father's side, meaning his paternal brother, which he doesn't have that mother. He actually has a different mother. And hence, this person's that we're talking about, the Yavam, who he's going to head and maybe get ahead and marry this his brother's widow, it's not his aunt. And therefore, he was allowed to marry her. But however, now that this person has the Yavama falling in front of him, he cannot go ahead and consummate that relationship because it's his mother's sister, which is forbidden in the Torah. Now Rashi clarifies, which will give us an understanding in all these cases, is that the halacha, the obligation of Yibam, is only by a paternal brother. A brother that they share from the father, they both have the same father. As it says in the pasuk in Devarim Chafei, it says, Ki yeshva achem yachtam, when brothers will dwell together. And as the Gemara teaches us, we learn that, that halacha of achva achva, meaning that it says the term brotherhood by the sons of Yaakov, and it says the term brotherhood here by halachas of Yibam. So we say, just like over there, is that they share the same father, even though they didn't have the same mother, because there were four imahis. Here also, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is only required for the halacha of Yibam, that they have the same father, and hence you could have this case of achis imoi, which is that you could have a relative from his mother's side, and going ahead and then marrying his paternal brother, which would then make it forbidden for him, although there is the halacha of Yibam, but since one of the wives is the erva of his mother's sister, hence he cannot go ahead and continue and make the halacha of Yibam chalitza, and therefore she's exempt, and the tzar would be exempt, and so on. The 12th case the Mishnah tells us is v'achis ishtai, his wife's sister. So if he goes ahead, two brothers marry two sisters. So now his brother is married to his wife's sister. Now when his brother dies, he cannot go ahead and marry her because this is one of the rais mentioned in the Torah that one cannot marry two sisters. The 13th case is ve'eshes achiv, is his brother's wife. Now obviously we're always talking about brother's wife here. In every case of Yibam is his brother's wife. However, it's me'imai. It's his maternal brother's wife, which originally he died. Then, after that person died, then his paternal brother, his brother from his father's side, married that woman who was not related to him whatsoever. This person, the Yavam, is somewhere in the middle where he's related to him, and he's related to him, but they're not related to each other because here it's his maternal brother, they share the same mother. Here it's his paternal brother, they share the same father, they're stepbrothers, but the other ones are not related whatsoever. And therefore, the paternal brother was allowed to go ahead and marry this person's maternal brother's wife. Now, it's already the second marriage for this woman. And the paternal brother now dies without any children. And therefore, the halacha of Yibam should seem to apply, because here you have your paternal brother, you have brother from your father's side that dies without any children. And that is what the Mishnah is telling us, that she's forbidden to him. And the reason is because originally, she was first his maternal brother's wife. Now, once that happens, she becomes forbidden to him forever. And that's because the whole heter, it's a leniency of Yibam, which allows you to go ahead and marry your brother's wife. That says in the Torah is forbidden, and I'll go ahead and marry your brother's wife. But the Torah tells you, when your paternal brother dies without any children, then you go ahead and marry his wife in the halacha of Yibam. However, when the Torah tells you the prohibition of Eshes Achiv, it says in Yikri Yudches, it says, Ervas Eshes Achicha. The nakedness, the erva of your brother's wife. Now, the Gemara in Yevamos tells us in the Nunhei Mor Alav that when it says achicha, your brother, that's whether it's paternal brother or maternal brother. So the erva of Eshes Ach is not just paternal brother, it's even maternal brother. However, the heter, the allowance of Yibam to marry that erva, is only by your paternal, not your maternal. And since she was originally the wife of his brother, who they shared the same mother, at that point, that Isser is never going to be allowed. So although, yes, later on she marries his paternal brother, that's allowed through Yibam, that Isser will always apply, and therefore she's forbidden, and also her tzaris, and her tzaris, and so on. Now we continue on to Amud Beis, where the Mishnah continues with the 14th case. The Eishes Achiv Shalahaya Baylamai. Now, again, you have Eishes Achiv, which again, that's always the case. You have a brother's wife, and the brother died without any children. However, they didn't dwell in the world at the same time, which as Rashi explains the case. It says, let's say you have someone named Reuven, who died, and not to be confused with the Shvatim, because many of these cases don't follow that line, it's just that we use the names of the Shvatim because they're well known. So for example, if you have Reuven, that died without any children, classic case of Yibam. Now, however, a brother was born after he had already passed away, and let's say we call him Levi. Now, Shimon, who was around, so you had Reuven and Shimon around, Levi was the one who was born after Reuben had already passed away. So Shimon gets up and he does the halacha of Yibam. Now, he has another wife. So he has two wives now. He has the wife that he originally had, Shimon, and then he had Reuben's wife that he took in Yibam. And then he dies without any children. Now, both these women fall in front of Levi to do the mitzvah of Yibam. Now, that is what the Mishnah is telling us, that both of them are exempt. And the reason is because Reuven's wife that ultimately married Shimon in the mitzvah of Yibam is forbidden to Levi. Not only that, there's a punishment of Karis if he were to marry her. The reason for this is because the Issur of Eishes Ach, which means to say the wife of your brother, is forbidden with Karis, like all other Raisa says in the parasha. As it says by all of them, it says, Kikala Shayasam Ukalata Ebisu Eilab Nichrasu. Whoever goes and violates one of these Arais gets Karis. Now, however, the only thing is that when there's the mitzvah of Yibam that applies, which means to say that although there's an Issur of Karis, but there's something unique about the mitzvah of Yibam, which says if he dies without any children, the Torah says it's permitted. However, regarding this case, the 14th case of our Mishnah, where this first brother, Reuven, passed away before Levi was ever born, there, that heter, that allowance of Yibam, never was able to take effect. And the reason is because there's a pasuk that says, regarding the mitzvah of Yibam, it says, Ki yeshu achim yachtav, when the brothers dwell together, which means to say that they dwell together in this world at the same time. Now, therefore, since once Reuven died, it was forbidden for Levi forever to marry his wife, because she's Eishes Achim. She was at one point married to his brother, which makes her an erva. But more than that, it's as if he had children. Now that's a term we're going to be using throughout the Masechta, and what we mean by that is that in Halacha we will view it as if he has children. Because the allowance of Yibam, which is when there's no children, is only if it was Yeshev Achim Yachtav, if they had dwelled in the world at the same time. Now they didn't dwell in the world at the same time. So now, it's even more than that. So even over here now, when Shimon dies, the second brother, now he was in the world when that second brother died, it still doesn't make a difference. She's still forbidden because she was Reuven's wife, his other brother's wife, which again has an Isser and only is allowed when there's no children that you dwelled at the same time and that he never had, and therefore that prohibition will always remain. Now, therefore, what our Mishnah is telling us, and which is this is the concept of what we're saying, of Tzaras and Tzaras are saying, is just like she's forbidden to him, so to her Tzara, which means to say the other spouse, the co-wife, the original wife of Shimon, is also forbidden. And that's because, as the Gemara will teach us, that regarding all the Arayas, all the forbidden relationships that there are, which you have a prohibition of Karis, that if it falls in front of him for Yibam to say, look, there's your brother died, he has 2, 3, 4 wives, and one of them is one of these 15 arayas. Now, what that makes is that all the other tzaras will also be exempt. And if you marry any one of them, the prohibition is karas. Now, the reason is because once the Torah tells you you're exempt from Yibam, essentially what that makes it is as if your brother had children, because Yibam is just is what allows it when there's no children. But the fact that he didn't have children doesn't say there's no prohibition of Eishes Achiv. It's Yibam that then overrides that or allows that. However, here, where there's no heter of Yibam, therefore you view it as if your brother had children. If he had children, there's no allowance whatsoever to marry any one of his wives. And therefore, that's the 14th case of our Mishnah. And the 15th and final of these 15 arayas is Vikalasai, is his daughter-in-law. That is, if his son died, and then his brother, meaning the brother of the father-in-law, went and married his daughter-in-law. A daughter-in-law is something that's forbidden forever, even after his son passed away. And therefore, she's the 15th of all these cases where we said if his brother, his paternal brother, passes away without any children, and one of them, at least, is one of these 15 women, his daughter, his daughter-in-law, any one of these cases, his aunt, then not only is she exempt from Yibam, because you cannot go ahead and marry an Erva, but actually all the other co-wives are also going to be forbidden from Yibam and from Chalitza. And that is what our Mishnah concludes by saying, Hare Elu, Paitris Tarasayan, these 15 women, if they're one of the wives of his brother, will exempt their rivals, their co-wives, and with Tsaras Tarasayan and even the co-wives' co-wives, which again the Mishnah will explain exactly how that case is, Mina Chalitza or Mina Yibam Atsaif Oilam, from the halacha that applies to the divorce process of not going ahead with the marriage of Yibam, or from not allowing the halacha of doing Yibam, until it continues ad infinitum, again, marrying a brother, as the Mishnah will explain exactly this case itself. Now, however, the Mishnah does tell us a clause regarding this exemption. Bekulon, regarding any one of these 15 women, who was married to his brother, imesui, if they die, so for example, let's say it was the first of the 15 that we spoke about, let's say his daughter had married his brother, which means say his brother married his niece, but she died before his brother passed away. Or imenu, or if let's say, which a literal translation of mion means to refuse, if let's say she refused the marriage. Now, the main premise of the halacha of mion is when you have a yesoima, you have a girl that's an orphan. where her mother or her brother marries her off to an individual. And that's even if she was willing for it. The halacha still remains that she could refuse it and she could then leave the marriage without a get, without a divorce document, and she could do this process until she becomes a gedolah, until she brings two pubic hairs. Now, Rashi actually wonders, how exactly could we have, by these 15 arayas, let's say we'll take the first one, which is the case of Bita, his daughter, how could an halacha of miyun apply? The father is still alive. And because that's what we're saying. We're saying if his daughter is married to his brother, and then she goes and exempts all the other rivals, but then the Mishnah is telling us, but if let's say the daughter died first, or if she refused her husband first, she did miyun. Now, Rashi wonders, how could you do miyun if it only applies by an orphan? Because that's unique to the halacha of when she's an orphan, because if a father marries her off, she can't. She's halachically married. It's only when the Rabbanan allowed rabbinically for the mothers and the brothers, because they don't want the daughter just lying around, so they can marry her off. So we say, since it's not a biblical marriage, she can then go ahead and refuse it with miyun. But if the father's alive, then the mothers and the brothers don't have that right, and therefore, how could you have miyun in the first place? So Rashi explains, it's talking about if the father had already once married her off. Then that husband divorced her when she was still a minor. Now, the halacha is that the father doesn't have any more domain over her anymore. And he can't go ahead and marry her off. He doesn't have the rights anymore. Now, in that status, the brothers go ahead and marry her off when she's still a minor. Then she could remove herself from that marriage with the process of miyun, as the Gemara will explain later on, Daf Kaf Tesamad Alf. And that's what's called Yisayim Bechayi Ha'av, which means to say that she's an orphan, albeit that her father is still alive. And therefore, it still applies this halachic principle of miyun. But be that as it may, if the daughter or any one of these 15 arayas that's going to exempt all the other co-wives, if she died first, or if she refused first from the marriage, or if, let's say, she was divorced from the brother before he died, or she was discovered to be an islandess, which an islandess is a condition of a woman where she doesn't have the female properties to allow her to go ahead and have children. Now, what that makes it is, makes the marriage into a mekach tois. It makes it into a transition that was faulty, and therefore she was never at any point, retroactively was revealed that it wasn't a marriage in that sense. Hence, she was never Eishes Achiv. She was never really his brother's wife. Now, therefore, in these cases, when his brother ultimately does die, so it's like as if she was not his wife. Hence, in all these cases, we say Tzareseihin Mutarais. We say that then all the other co-wives are permitted, and therefore then the Yavam, which means to say this father of the daughter, or whichever one that this erva was to him, since she died before the brother died, or she got divorced before, or she refused it, or she was discovered to be an islandess, hence she was never halachically like his brother's wife, so then he could go ahead and marry the co-wives because they weren't there, that erva wasn't there at the time of when his brother had died, and since she was already out of the picture, she's not going to exempt all the other co-wives from Yibmei Chalitza. Now, however, the Mishnah does tell us regarding this last clause that we just said, regarding that there would be an exception if she had been out of the picture before the brother died, but that v'iyata yochel loymer, you cannot say this exemption b'chamoisli, by his mother-in-law, meaning we said regarding 15 arayas, that there is this exception of if she died first or if she was divorced first. So we're saying that this won't apply by his mother-in-law, ube'im chamoisa, or his mother-in-law's mother, ube'im chamov, or his father-in-law's mother, to say which, you cannot say shenimtzu ailness or shemianu. You could technically say the other one, she died first or she was divorced first, but you can't say she was discovered to be an islandess or that she had refused the marriage. And the reason is because, obviously, his mother-in-law or his mother-in-law's mother or his father-in-law's mother already had children from somewhere else because that's how she had his mother-in-law or father-in-law before she had married his brother, and therefore, obviously, she's not an islandess, because an islandess means to say that she's not capable of having children. And moreover, obviously, you cannot say the principle of miyun that she's refusing the marriage because obviously they're already adults because they had children and grandchildren, and therefore it cannot apply the halacha of miyun because miyun only applies by an orphan that's a minor, as the Gemara will explain later on Perek Bishama, and therefore the Mishnah is qualifying this exemption by saying that although we could say bekulan, that they could be out of the picture first, however regarding these three you cannot say all four, you could say two out of the four, but you cannot say that they were islandess or that they didn't miyun, because again, they're already adults and they already had children, and therefore wouldn't apply. But now the Mishnah goes back to explain what we had opened up with. We said that regarding these 15 women, that they're arayas, they're an erva to this brother that wants to go ahead and marry his brother that had passed away without any children to marry them, but one of them is an erva, he can't go ahead and do that. So he said that not only is she exempt, but all the co-wives are then exempt. So now the Mishnah wonders, Ketzad Poiches Tersenol, what exactly is the case conceptualization? What do we mean that she'll exempt the co-wives? So the Mishnah explains, Haisib Bitoy, let's pick the first out of the 15. Let's say it was his daughter. His brother married his daughter. Or any one of the other 15 ones that was an erva to him, was nesuas la'achiv, got married to his brother. Now, v'loy isha acheres, halachically, biblically, you can have more than one wife. He had two wives. Now, umes, now he died without any children. So the Mishnah is telling us, k'shem shebitay p'tura, just like his daughter is exempt from yibam and chalitz. And the reason is because she's forbidden to him. You know, I'll marry your daughter. Now, regarding this first part of the case, let's say we're just going with the case of Tzara, so there's only one brother, which is this individual. So just like his daughter's exempt from Yim Chalitza, so Kach Tzarasa Batura, so too we're saying that her co-wife, her rival, is also going to be exempt. As we will learn on Daf Gimel Beis, how do we know that not only is the Erva exempt, but even the Tzara, even the co-wife is exempt? But now we move on. We move on because we said not only will she exempt her co-wife, but even her co-wife's co-wife and co-wife's co-wife, Atzaref Eilam. How is that? So halcha tzaras bitay. Let's say his daughter's co-wife goes venisus la'achav hasheni and gets married to the other brother. So now we're broadening the case. Let's say there is another brother. There wasn't just two brothers. One that passed away and then the other one who one of them was an ervatim and therefore exempting the other co-wives too. But rather there's a third brother. Now for him, both of them are permitted because it was not his daughter. It was the other brother's daughter. And therefore, since they're both permitted to him, therefore they're not exempt from Yibam Chalitza, and therefore there is the mitzvah of Yibam. Now, what happens is, so he does Yibam, he marries one of them. Now, the other one is going to be exempt from the halacha of Yibam, because as it says in the pasuk in Devarim Chafei, it says, as base achim, when you do Yibam, you do it to your brother's house, where the Gemara learns is that, bayis echur hubayna b'leishtayim. You only build one house, you don't build two houses. So if your brother that died without any children has many wives, you don't marry them all and then build all of them, you pick one of them. Now, and that is what a Mishnah is telling us, that if the Yibam that he did was not to that individual's daughter, but rather to the other wife, that was just a tzara, which is the tzara, the co-wife of his daughter. Now, v'lo isha acheres. Now, he has another wife. In other words, this third brother, not only did he do Yibam, but he had another wife from his own marriage. Umeis, and then he dies without any children. Now, these two wives go ahead and fall and play into the other one that originally couldn't do any Yibam or Chalitza because it was his daughter. Now, the daughter's co-wife went ahead and married the other brother. Now, that brother died without any children, and he has two wives. So, and that is what the Mishnah is telling us. Kashem Shetzaraz Bitei Peturah, just like the co-wife of his daughter is exempt. Now, what that means is, halachically we view it, that she's forbidden to him. And that was because at the time of when the first opportunity for Yibam happened, when the first brother passed away, she was then, so to speak, falls in front of him together with that man's daughter. Now, his daughter went and exempted that co-wife, because as we're going to learn the Gemara, that an erva will exempt a co-wife. Hence, she is halachically viewed as a brother's wife that had children. Meaning, we use that terminology to say that when there is no halacha of Yibam applying, which means there's no exemption to the Isser to allow Yibam, therefore we say it's as if he has children. Now that makes her a bona fide erva, and therefore she's forbidden to him forever. So even though now she goes and marries the other brother, and that brother passed away without any children, and she's not a tzara to any erva now, but she already became an erva, so to speak, on her own by being the tzara of an erva. Now, therefore, just like the tzara's bas is exempt and forbidden, kach tzara's tzarasa, hence, the co-wife's co-wife, which means to say the other wife of the other brother, is also going to be betura. It's also going to be exempt from Yibam because now this new type of erva, because she was a tzara's erva, which then made her an eishes achiv, where again, the brother's wife is always forbidden. There's only an exemption of Yibam. Now, there the exemption of Yibam doesn't apply because she's the tzara of the erva. Hence, when this forbidden eishes achiv, what we'll call that sheyesh leban, marries the other one, and now both of those fall in front of that original brother, he can't go ahead because that's an erva now. And now her tzara is a tzara of an erva. Which the Gemara will learn, the understanding for this is because it says in the pasuk from Litzrer, which means to say that the tzara of an erva will exempt her tzara. Hence, this new type of erva, because she was a tzara of an erva, will then go ahead and exempt in her tzara. And afila hen meya, when we said in the Mishnah, ad seifa olam, even if there's 100 brothers, which means to say, if let's say the co-wife's co-wife of his daughter, which was the case we just ended off with, she goes ahead and does and has yibum done to her to a third brother, who he has another wife, and then he dies without any children. Now both of those are forbidden, and so on, because to say it creates a new type of erva when you don't have a heter of yibum because you're the tzar of an erva. Now you, although you were not an original erva, you become like an erva, and therefore when you marry the other brother and he dies without any children, now that co-wife also becomes again that continues at seif olam. Now the Mishnah also clarifies what we had mentioned. The Gemara asks, the Mishnah asks, Ketzad and Mesut are the same attires. How do we understand? We said that there's a clause. We said that although these 15 arayas are going to exempt all the co-wives, we said, however, if they're out of the picture beforehand, they died, they did miyun, they were divorced, they were discovered to be an islandist, then we said that their co-wives are going to be exempt. So the Mishnah wants to understand exactly what does that mean, that if they die, that then their co-wives are going to be permitted, and then the father who had his daughter had married to his brother, but the daughter was divorced before his brother died, then he could marry and do yibum to the co-wives. What is that case? So the Mishnah tells us, let's say his daughter, or any one of these other 15 arayis, or in the Suus La'achiv, as we had explained, was married to his brother, and he had another wife, which we said that's what a tzara is. Now, if Mesa bitoy oynis karsha, if let's say first his daughter died or was divorced, and then achakach Mesa achim, and only afterwards his brother died, then saras mutaris, then the co-wife is permitted to do yibum to this person, who again is a brother that was forbidden originally because his daughter was married, because at the time of what's called zikas yibum, which is a term we're going to be discussing throughout the Masechta, which means to say there's a type of a chain, a connection, which is some type of, as if halacha from Shemaim, they are making you designated for this woman because they want you to do yibum. Now that only starts when the person passes away. At that point, she wasn't a tzar anymore. She wasn't a co-wife because she was out of the picture already. She was divorced. She had died already. And therefore, since at that time of the death of his brother, she wasn't married anymore, then that's not a tzara of an erva of his daughter, and hence he could go ahead and do yibum to the co-wife. Now, however, the Mishnah concludes with one of the terms we had mentioned, which regarding the halach of miyun, which is that a minor girl that was married off by her brothers or her mother could go ahead and refuse the marriage at any point in time before she becomes an adult. So the Mishnah tells us, anytime there's a situation where the wife could refuse the marriage. Now we're saying specifically regarding the halach of our Mishnah. So for example, let's say the erva that we're discussing is a minor, and hence she could refuse the marriage. But v'loy miyano, she didn't refuse the marriage. And the brother died now. So there's a uniqueness to this case. Because her kedushin, her marriage to this brother that died without any children, was only a rabbinic kedushin. It wasn't a biblical type of a marriage. Because her father, who has the rights now, didn't marry her off. He was out of the picture. He was dead. Now, her brothers that marry her off only are allowed because Rabbanan wanted it. So it's a rabbinic type of a marriage. Hence, that makes it that the zika, the pull that's pulling the brother of the one who had just passed away to marry his wives, his widows, one of them being this erva, but that was only married off rabbinically, makes that zika also only rabbinic type of a pull. Hence, although she's an erva, let's say it's a daughter of this man that's the brother to the one that had passed away, and one of the wives is his daughter. We said that he had already married her off once before, and hence it wasn't that he made the marriage, his sons made the marriage, or his wife made the marriage. Now, that marriage that his daughter had to his brother is only a rabbinic type of a marriage. Now, although she's an erva, generally she would exempt all the other co-wives from Yibum Chalitza, but that would only be if it's on the biblical level. Biblically, she's not really married to his brother. It's only rabbinically. And therefore, she can't go ahead and exempt all the other co-wives from Chalitza. Now, however, yibum, for the brother to go ahead and marry his daughter's co-wives, that's forbidden, as Gmol explained the reason, because even if she would even ultimately do miyun, which is refusal, after the brother had died, which halachically is valid, even that would be problematic, because she's still viewed as a tzaras erva. Not everyone will realize what's going on. They'll say, wait a second, isn't that his daughter's co-wife that he's doing yibum to? And people are not going to know that the miyun was done, and they won't fully understand the halachic process. And therefore we say that in this case, the Mishnah concludes to say that tzaras l'chayletzes v'lei mitzvei bemes. So therefore in this case, since miyun could happen, we say that it's a rabbinic kedushin. Hence, she can't exempt the other tzaras from chalitza, because biblically she's like not even a co-wife. So hence they need some type of separation from the yavam. They're not totally out of the picture. But to go ahead and do yibum, he can't do that either, because it looks as if all the other co-wives are tzaras erva, because they are co-wives of his daughter, albeit rabbinically. And therefore, it's somewhere in the middle of having chayletzes, because you do have to biblically separate this connection, because biblically the daughter or whichever one erva this was not biblically married. And therefore, you have to do the separation of chaletzes, but you can't do the yibum to consummate the relationship with one of the other co-wives, because it'll have the appearance, at least, of being the tzara of an erva. Now the Gemara begins in trying to understand the hierarchy, the chronology of these 15 arayas that our Mishnah mentions. So the Gemara says, Mechti, let's see. Kulu, all these arayas, all these forbidden relationships, we spoke about 15 different cases that we said that they're going to be exempt and exempt all their co-wives from Yibum. Machis ishi alfinan. Ultimately, we learn all these arayas from a man's wife's sister. As the Gemara explained of Gimel Beis, that we know from there that there is this exemption of doing Yibum if it's an Erva. If that's the case, the Gemara asks, so let that be the first of the 15 cases. If his brother passed away and his brother was married to his wife's sister, then he cannot do Yibum Chalitza, and so too for the Tzaris, and then go ahead and list the other 14. Because that's the one we were learning out from. Shouldn't that be the first one? Why are we starting from Bita? So the Gemara entertains and says as follows. Now, v'chitim, if you're going to answer and say the reason why we didn't start with his wife's sister is because Tana, the Tana of the Mishnah, chumri naka, wanted to take the more severe arayas first and work his way down. Now, how would that play out? Because Reb Shimon, it's Reb Shimon who says in Masechta Sanhedrin, Nef Memtes Mabez, that Sreifa Chamur, there's four different types of deaths that Beis Din, that the rabbinical courts give. The most stringent of them is when there's burning hot molten lead that's poured down the throat, that's Sreifa. Now, that's why we mentioned in the first cases, his daughter, his daughter's daughter, and so on, up until his father-in-law's mother, because they all get the punishment of Sreifa. And that's why we went in that order, because we wanted to go for the more stringent first. That Ihachis, the Gemara says, if that would be the case, so listen, so then don't start off with one's daughter, start off with his mother-in-law. Because the Ikas Reifa, if you tell me we wanted to start off with the more stringent Arayas, which is the more stringent deaths that you get by Bezdin, so the Ikas Reifa Bechamaisik Siva, the primary source for the stringent types of punishment of being burnt internally, is written by one's mother-in-law, and that's because it says a pasuk in Yikachav. It says, "V'isha sheyikach es isha bes ima." If a man will take a woman and her mother, which is his mother-in-law, zimahi, that's inappropriate. Be'ish Yisrael, he'll get burnt in fire. So therefore, don't. Yes, all these other cases, bita and bas bita, they're all also sreifa, but go to the source first. Say mother-in-law first. Void. Moreover, another question is, if that would be the case, basracha meisa, then after we finish those cases that are the most stringent sreifa, listen to kalasa, then let the next one be the daughter-in-law. Because the basa sreifa, skila chamur, after, in line of the most stringent types of deaths, after burning, is being stoned. And one's daughter-in-law, if one would have a relationship with a daughter-in-law, that's what being stoned, as it says in the Gemara, in Perek Dalet Mises, on Daf Nagilma, Omer Aleph. But that's in contrast to the other arayas of the Mishnah, where they don't even have Mises Bezdin. Bezdin doesn't kill them. They're just karis, which is done from Shemayim, that they cut his life short. So that wouldn't either make sense. We're back to the question. Why don't we start off with a chais ishtai, if that's the source of the exemption of Yibam when you're in Erva? And if you're saying, because you want to say the most stringent, so then go with chamais, so don't start off with bitai. So Elarav, the Gemara tells us that bitai, the reason why we start off with one's daughter, is kivin de asim midrasha, since it's not explicit in the Torah that one is not allowed to have a relationship with his daughter. Actually, it's only learned out from exposition that she's forbidden to him. Now, since it's learned out from Drush, so that is chavivalei, so that's more desirable for the Tana, because it's something that it's not just explicit, you have to go ahead and understand it and explore and figure it out and find that this is so. Therefore, he wanted to have that first, because it's more dear by something that required Drush to get that, which the Gemara later on explain exactly is what is the source exactly that we know that Bitoy is forbidden. And therefore, we start over with Bitoy first. Now we continue on to the top of Gimel Aleph, where the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, Kulanami, all the other 14 arayis that they're exempt from Yibum are also Midrasha also. We also know from exposition, it doesn't say in the Torah that if you're one of these arayis, you're going to be exempt from Yibum. We learn it out from Achayis Isha. So why is Bitoy more unique than the other ones to say that's learned from Drush to say it first? So the Gemara answers, Nehi Dele Inyan Yibum Asi Midrasha. You're right. Regarding the exemption of Yibum, that if you're an Erva, even though it's your brother's wife, and he passed away on your children, you cannot do Yibum. That's learned from a drush. That is, it's not explicit in the Torah, but Iker Isurayhu. But their primary prohibition, that they're forbidden because they're an Erva, is Behedik Sibuhu. All these are written in the Torah. You're not to marry your aunt, you're not to marry your sister. All these things are written. But Bitai, regarding one's daughter, which we had explained already in the Mishnah, means to say from a woman that he had violated, that was not through marriage, that's the case of the Mishnah, as we said, or else it would be the same as Bas Ishtai, that Ika Isur Midrasha, that primary Isur, isn't it? Doesn't say in the Torah that you're not going to have a relationship with your daughter. That's learned out from a Drush, and therefore he wanted to say it first. Dama Rabba, like Rabba said, Amali Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi, says, Asti, we learn it out from Heina Heina. That is, we learn out the prohibition, the Isur itself, to have a relationship with one's daughter, that we learn out from Gzer Shava of Heina Heina. And that is because a woman's daughter, which is Bas Ishtai, and so too, Bas Bitoi means to say her daughter's daughter or her son's daughter, which were those the after the first three cases, they were the following three cases. That is learned out from a pasuk. That says in the Torah, it says, Ervas Ishu Bita Lesegala, the nakedness of a woman and a daughter you're not supposed to reveal. Now, his daughter from his wife is included in Bas Ishtai, meaning to say if he had a relationship with his wife, as a normal marriage is, so then it doesn't have to, his daughter is not going to be prohibited because it's his daughter, it's going to be prohibited because it's his wife's daughter. However, a woman that he never married, that he had violated this woman, that you don't see anywhere that that's going to be forbidden because it says Erves Isha. Now, as we had explained before, the term Isha always connotes that it was done through Kiddushin, through marriage. Now, but the Torah tells us that by his daughter's daughter and by his son's daughter, even when he had violated that woman, the grandchild, we do see in the Torah that that's forbidden. Because it says in the pasuk, it says, Ervas bas bintchoi bas bitcha. The forbiddenness of your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter, I mean your grandchild, whether it's through your son, through your daughter, that says it's forbidden relationship. Now there it doesn't say a terminology of ishus, that it's through marriage. So you know that your grandchild of a woman that was violated is forbidden, but still it doesn't say anywhere that your daughter from the woman that was violated is going to be forbidden. Now that's learned out from Gzeres Shavah. Because it says over here in the pasuk of the woman that he violated, which we know without the grandchildren, where it says Bas Bintcha and it says Bas Bitcha, it says the words Kirvascha Heina, because they are an arayas. Now, the other pasuk, when it talks about when it was through a relationship of marriage, when it says Ishus, it says Sha'ara Heina. So it uses the same terminology of Heina. So we learn that just like over there, by the marriage, the daughter is the same as the granddaughter, because it says over there in Isha Ubita, a woman and her daughter, and it talks about the grandchildren. So therefore we learn that also over here, although it only mentions the grandchildren, but we say that Bita is Kabas Bita, we say that the daughter will be the same as the granddaughter, just like over there where it says Heina, that the daughter is the same as the granddaughter. That's where we know that there's the prohibition of having a relationship with one's daughter. Moreover, Asya Zima Zima, we also learn about that there is a punishment for having a relationship with a daughter. That we know from Gzeir Shav of Zima Zima, which tells us that there's the punishment of Strefa, because it says regarding a daughter that one has from a marriage, that daughter was Bas Ishtai. It says over there Zimahi. Now it says regarding the punishment of Strefa, which we had explained just before, that that's actually by his mother-in-law, when it says Isha and Ima, it says Zimahi Be'eshi Strefa, that they get burnt in the fire. Now, therefore, we learn, just like over there by the mother-in-law, the punishment of that forbidden relationship is going to be Sreifa. Here also, it's going to be Sreifa. Now, meaning is Bas Ishtai. And therefore, just like we learned his daughter from his woman that he violated, through Heina Heina, from the Bas Ishtai, and therefore we'll know from the mother-in-law to Bas Ishtai, to Bita Manasasai, that the punishment for this forbidden relationship, which we know through Heina Heina, is going to be the punishment of Sreifa. But that answers the question, why did we start off with Bita? Because although, yes, all the arayis to be exempted from Yibum is learned from a drush, from a Achayis Isha, as we're going to explain later on. However, but their actual prohibition of being an Erev is written in the Torah. But a daughter is not written in the Torah. It's only learned out through a drush of Gzeir Shava, of Heina Heina, to tell us that just like Bas Ishtai, the daughter will be forbidden, just like the granddaughter, so to hear from a woman that he violated, just like we see in the Torah that the grandchildren are forbidden, so too the daughter is going to be forbidden, and that's why since it's Chavivolei, it's endeared, because of something that's not straight out, that you had to learn through drush, is more dear to the Tana. That's why he opened up the 15 arayas that are going to be exempt, and exempt all the tzaras with halacha of Bitai.